live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the head of the HSE warns the health system is facing unyielding pressure because of the recent COVID surge. The Thánaiste says no new restrictions would have to be imposed if everyone was vaccinated. Antigen testing for asymptomatic close contacts will begin in primary schools on or before the 29th of November. The COVID-19 testing centre in Letterkenny reports a busy stream of people attending the clinic, but is advising those with symptoms not to take antigen tests but to book a PCR test immediately. And we'll hear from the Donegal Chair of the Irish Hotels Federation on the need for continued government support. Later in the bulletin, Kenny is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That's coming up directly after the sport. But we begin with the comments this evening from Paul Reid, the CEO of the HSE. And he's warning the system is facing unyielding pressure as a result of the recent COVID surge. 643 people now in hospital with COVID. That's up 18% compared to last week, up 40% over the past fortnight. 17, the latest figure for Letterkenny University Hospital, with one of those in intensive care. Well, officials say it's likely that non-elective healthcare will now begin to be cancelled as many hospitals move to surge capacity. Paul Reid says the situation at this point is very serious.
We all know our health service will be under unrelenting strain over the next while. So while there is much discussion and indeed value to be added by other layers that will protect us, such as antigen testing, and indeed the booster programme, our clinical teams are very clear to me that these are not magic wands.
Well, officials are recommending that anyone who got a Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine should get a booster after 3 months. The Irish Times reports that NIAC found the 236,000 people in the group should get an mRNA booster. It's because they say the one-shot vaccine is less effective than a two-shot dose. Most people in that group would have got their vaccine in the spring. The Thánaiste has said no new restrictions would be needed if everyone were vaccinated. Leo Varadkar says government will be looking at whether more measures are needed before Christmas over the coming weeks. He told CNN he wants to see a further push toward vaccination.
It is a personal choice, and questions around bodily autonomy and personal freedom do matter. But what I would say to people who are not vaccinated, you know, 5% of our population is not vaccinated, 50% of people in hospital and ICU are. If it were not the case, if everyone was vaccinated, we wouldn't be imposing the restrictions we're imposing now.
Antigen testing for asymptomatic close contacts will begin in primary schools on or before the 29th of November. The Education and Health Ministers jointly announced the move today. With more detail, here's Eamon Torsney.
Antigen tests will be made available to children in a primary school pod where a child in the pod has tested positive for COVID-19. Where two or more COVID cases occur in a class within a 7-day period, outside of a single pod, antigen testing will be offered to the full class. Parents or guardians who have a child with a confirmed positive PCR test are asked to inform the school's principal, who will then inform the parents of other children in the pod. They will then be provided with the option to receive free antigen tests for the child. It's not mandatory for children to participate in antigen testing. However, those in a pod where a child has tested positive can continue to attend school, provided that they are not experiencing symptoms of COVID-19.
The Houses of the Oireachtas has said that antigen tests will not be provided free to TDs and senators. That's despite business committee members being briefed this morning that politicians would have access to free testing. The Oireachtas, which is independent of government, says free tests will be provided to staff who have to be on site, such as ushers, caterers and others. TDs and senators will still be required to pay for antigen testing. 1,681 new COVID-19 cases were recorded north of the border in the past 24 hours, with 6 additional COVID-related deaths. 419 patients are in hospital with the disease north of the border, 34 of them in ICU. Well, the COVID-19 centre in Letterkenny is reporting a busy stream of people attending the clinic seeking tests, particularly later in the day. There was an increase of over 60% in the number of tests carried out in Donegal over the first 2 weeks of November, with suggestions that same-day appointments are being booked by people taking antigen tests at home. However, people are being warned if they have symptoms, they should not do an antigen test, but should instead book a PCR test as quickly as possible. The coordinator of the Letterkenny Testing Centre is Judith McGlynn.
One thing I just would like to say to people is the antigen test should only be used for people if they're asymptomatic. If people have any symptoms at all, they should be attending for a PCR test and not going on the results of an antigen test. I don't know if that's the reason why we have lower testing. I don't know, but if just to make sure that people are aware of that, that you could definitely get false results if you use them when you're symptomatic.
The Department of Tourism has confirmed hotel bars will have to close from midnight tonight. It had initially said there would be an exemption from new closing hours for hotel bars, but bars in hotels, including residence bars, will have to shut with everyone off the premises from midnight. The rules will also apply to weddings held in those venues. The Donegal chair of the Irish Hotels Federation is calling for the continuation of government supports in the wake of new restrictions for the hospitality sector. It comes as hotels in Donegal report cancellations of Christmas functions in recent weeks over what's been described as a nervousness among some customers about attending gatherings. That cancellation of Christmas events is being reported right around the country. The IHF Donegal chair, Paul Diver, says it's clear that the public saw the writing on the wall, as did the industry. He says, if the jobs and businesses are to survive into the new year, supports must be reinstated.
I think people were probably ahead of the curve on this one. You know, once the numbers went up above 4,000, people could see the writing on the wall, and I suppose people were could be described as being sensible and started to pull back on bookings, you know, pull back on Christmas parties and large gatherings. And then when Dr. Tony Houlihan, you know, came out and said that, asked people to reduce their social contacts, and the HSC, you know, sort of recommended pulling back on Christmas parties, you know, that resulted in a huge amount of cancellations.
The CEO of OCO Global says they chose to establish a strategic base at GTEC in Gwydor because of the facilities other Eisteddfod were able to offer and the commitment of people in the area. However, Mark O'Connell says while the decision was made for business reasons, the fact that he has had a second home in Brunelec for over 20 years helped seal the deal. Headquartered in Belfast, the international trade and investment consulting firm works with governments around the world and also advises private sector clients on international expansion. Mark O'Connell says Gwydor was the right location for this new development.
I know the community and I know the networks and, you know, the value that the people place on work and enterprise. So there was always that context, but I think lately conditions have converged to make it attractive for us to establish. We got into discussions with Uderitz, who set out some very attractive incentives between the cost base and the connectivity and the skills that we're finding. It makes a lot of sense for us. There has been a sort of rebalancing of the centre of gravity of cities towards regions. And I think, you know, Donegal has a lot of potential, or untapped potential, I should say. A lot of people have been forced to leave Donegal and work in the big cities. And if there were opportunities for them to work and live closer to home, perhaps having had some experience abroad, I think that's a very compelling case.
In terms of the recruitment, what's the time scale and what's the process from your point of view?
We're working with the guys at Uterus, who have been very supportive in covering, you know, opportunities, employment opportunities in social media and so forth, and with organisations such as yourself getting the word out that we're hiring. We've recruited our first sort of manager, who's Letterkenny-based, but will be spending 2 or 3 days a week working out of the GTEC as we build up our base there. So far, so good. You know, we would have the ambition to add resources quite quickly if we can, you know, get the applications in and they're suited to the work we're doing.
And that was Mark O'Connell of GTEC in Belfast, which is announcing today an expansion into Gwydor with the support of Uderus. The Green Party leader has been further accused of cronyism in appointing his former advisor and a former party activist to the National Climate Change Advisory Council. The government's been forced to defend the two appointments to the CAAC since it emerged they were hand-picked. There were tense scenes on the issue in the Dáil this afternoon. Minister Eamon Ryan was responding to questions from Deputy Piers Doherty when the Cairn Corner had to intervene.
When a government department and a minister is best placed to be able to set up this advisory board. It's a very specific board, very different for any of the other commercial or other semi-state boards to post.
Against the guidelines.
I work with the public appointment service all the time.
Against the guidelines.
But in this particular instance, I believe that the way we legislated for it was the right way to do it. This was done in all due proper timelines.
No, not open, and not transparent, not fair and against the guidelines,
Deputy
Minister.
Doherty.
You had an option.
Deputy
you
Doherty, you're out of order.
And there were the scenes in the Dáil earlier today. With the Irish government once again urging people to work from home, the Cross-Border Workers Coalition says this makes it all the more imperative that the government tackle the issue of cross-border taxation. The coalition says thousands of cross-border workers face financial penalties from January if the issue isn't addressed in the wake of work-from-home restrictions set to be reinstated tomorrow. There are calls on the government here to support employees. Co-chair Aidan O'Kane says there are genuine fears among workers that the home working flexibility they were granted since the pandemic began is set to be lost.
It's regrettable that we're in this situation where, you know, the levels of infection requires a working from home guideline to come out from the government. But whilst that is in place, it's also very regrettable that the cross-border workers are not considered in terms of the double taxation that they will be liable for by working from home come the 1st of January.
And what kind of penalties will these people face?
So a 25-year-old tax rule means that that if anybody who's domiciled in the Republic of Ireland but work for a Northern Ireland-based company are liable to pay tax for any duties carried out in the Republic of Ireland, whilst they are also taxed at source by HMRC. Those are the penalties which us as Cross-Border Workers Coalition are trying to alleviate, because remote working is here to stay.
And this, I'm sure, in turn leads to a massive reduction in their wages.
So it has the potential for a financial penalty for those cross-border workers. And indeed, that is, that's a big hit for those individuals, those employees. And what we would be asking is for a simplification or a harmonisation of tax rules, which allow people who live in Donegal but work for companies in Derry, for example, to be able to be taxed at source at HMRC and not face that double taxation liability to the Irish Revenue.
And that was Aidan O'Kane there. The family of a young Donegal man who lost his life in a car crash are hosting an event this weekend to raise funds for a charity in his honour. Jamie Bonner was killed in a two-car collision between Crislaw and Port na Blá on September 1st last year. The 19-year-old was the eighth person to die on Donegal's roads in 2020. The event on Sunday coincides with World Day of Remembrance for Road Traffic Victims. His mother Carmel spoke on today's 9 till noon show.
So we just felt it would be a nice way to honour Jamie's short life by holding a modified vintage car show, and with the help of the Midwest and Donegal Vintage Club and their members, they're helping us out. So we're having that in the school, the Ross Community School grounds in Dunloe here from 12 to 4pm. And we just feel Jamie had a great interest in cars, and he had bought a Sierra to restore it last winter. So, in his memory, Declan, his dad, and his brother Shane, along with a family friend, carried out this and his wish, and they have it restored and ready for Sunday.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get the Donegal GA supporters gift box now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five, and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with boxing, and Donegal's Jason Quigley will step on the scales this evening ahead of his WBO world middleweight title fight with Dimitri Andrade in Manchester, New Hampshire in the US of A. And weigh-in is due to start around 6 o'clock Irish time, and you can watch that on highlandradio.com. While speaking on the pre-fight event, Jason believes he will become world champion.
In every fight, look, boxing's a crazy old game. It can go any way, and any man can win at any stage of the fight. Demetrius is obviously a very quick starter, and in that fight against Liam Williams, Liam came back well. I know Liam well. I've trained with him in the Ingle Gym for a number of years, and that was a great fight. But of course, every man's beatable, and I'm looking to get in there, give the performance of my career, and I believe that I can become world champion.
Demetrius, a lot of talk about this guy won't fight you, this guy won't fight you, this guy will.
If you call on Demetrius Andre, your possibility of getting a fight will occur, so here we go. I give Jason Quigley, you know, the most respect for, you know, stepping up to the plate and taking on this challenge. Today is about me and Quigley dancing, getting it on, and may the best man win, and it's going to be a performance, and I'm going to make a statement. And I continue to make statements every single time. All I keep doing is winning. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go in there and dance.
Yeah, you can hear more of on the score this evening with Oisin Kelly. Here's from the camp of Jason Quigley ahead of his WBO World Middleweight title shot with Demetrius Andrade. You can also hear from Ollie Horgan as he looks ahead to Finn Harp's game with Longford, where the Balba Faye side know a win will secure Premier Division football for next season. And in our GA preview, St Junan's manager Rory Kavanagh and Clonmacnoise boss Michael Lynch, they preview their respective Ulster Championship encounters with Glen and Steelstown. That's a score after the 7 o'clock news this evening. In colleges, Gaelic games this evening, the second year A football final between DCU and UL is on tonight, and there's plenty of Donegal involvement. Jamie Grant, Shane O'Donnell, Ryan McShane, Johnny McGruddy, they all start for DCU, and Joey Gillespie is also part of that squad. Moving on to soccer, and there's action tonight in the Donegal League in Ballyair. A local derby between Swally Rovers and Milford United. That's in the Sunday League One kickoff. There is at 7:30 this evening. In other news, champions Shelburne have been snubbed by the nominations for the Women's National League Player of the Year. Instead, Piemont's Karen Duggan, Wexford Youth's Kylie Murphy and Savannah McCarthy of Galway United, they're all shortlisted. Shelburne have had Jesse Stapleton nominated for Young Player of the Year, while Noel King is up for Manager of the Year. In other news, Lewis Banks is the latest player to sign a new contract extension at Sligo Rovers. The fullback will play a fourth season with a bit of red and is the 14th player currently to commit to next term. Cross-channel new Aston Villa boss Steven Gerrard has outlined his long-term ambition to bring European football back to the club again. He's left Scottish Premiership champions Rangers to take over from Dean Smith at the Midlands club. Gerrard's first game is against Brighton in the Premier League on Saturday. In golf, Rory McIlroy says he's back to taking more responsibility for his own game. He holds a two-shot lead after the opening round of the season-ending DP World Tour Championship. McIlroy shot a 7-under par round of 65 today and leads from a trio that includes last week's winner, the Dane J.B. Hansen. Shane Lowry is 3-under par after shooting a round of 69 this morning. Leona Maguire is three shots off the lead on the opening day of the LPGA Tour Championship. A bogey at the ninth seen the Cavan golfer drop back to 3-under par after 14 holes, having opened up with four successive birdies. There's currently an 8-way tie for the lead on 6-under par. In snooker, Ronnie O'Sullivan's through to this evening's Champion of Champions quarter final. He defeated Stuart Bingham by 4-1 in Bolton this afternoon. O'Sullivan will play the winner of the match currently at the table. Ding Jung Wee leads John Higgins by 3-2. Finally for this evening, in rugby, three players could make their Irish debuts in Saturday's test with Japan at the RDS. Mary Healy, Ella Roberts and Shannon Toohey, they're among the replacements. While Aoife Doyle, she starts on the wing. There's a new half-back partnership with Catherine Dean and Enya Breen. Laura Feely also makes another start, and there's five changes altogether in the back, but captain Ciara Griffin remains on the blind side for her final game in an Irish shirt. The match will also be Adam Griggs' last game as head coach. Well, don't forget there's more sport after the 7 o'clock news with the Score programme. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Some news just in, and the Health Protection Surveillance Centre has confirmed 4,650 new cases of COVID-19 in the country today. As of 8 this morning, there were 643 COVID-19 patients in hospital, of which 118 were in ICU. Latest Letterkenny figures we have to hand show 17 people with COVID in the hospital, one of those in intensive care. Well, it's a Thursday and it's 22 minutes past five, and that means it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the impact of convergence on farmers under the proposed CAP plan for 23 to 2027, as well as what measures farmers will have to take to qualify for the new eco schemes. But first, the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association is hosting an information meeting on the proposed cap plan, and it takes place tomorrow evening in Jackson's Hotel in Belbuffet, starting at 8 o'clock. The Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell-Logue, will be among the guest speakers, and other public representatives will also be in attendance. This is an opportunity for farmers to get informed about what the cap supports will involve in the years ahead. And the search is on for the 23rd FBD Young Farmer of the Year, with applications and nominations now open. The competition features category awards for dairy, dry stock, beef and sheep, other enterprises including horticulture, pigs, poultry, tillage and equine, and land mobility and farm management. And this year also features awards for the Best Emerging Young Farmer and the National Rural Network Biodiversity Farmer of the Year Award. The overall winner of the Young Farmer of the Year will receive €5,000 in each category winner, and the Emerging Young Farmer taking home €1,000. Each winner will also receive vouchers from the FBD Hotel Group and FBD Insurance. Now, you can nominate a young farmer for one of the categories, or you can enter yourself by visiting macra.ie, and the closing date for nominations is next Monday, and the closing date for applications is next Friday. As the debate continues about what farmers will benefit most from convergence, new data has just been released, and it finds that farmers in Leitrim, Donegal and Sligo would benefit the most with 100% convergence, as opposed to the current level of convergence. To find out more, I've been speaking with Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, and we also touched on the new eco-schemes that will form a major part of direct payments under the next CAP programme.
100% convergence is an option. It's unlikely to be exercised. The Minister is recommending 85%. That's still a significant shift in payments, because under the previous cap we were on 60% convergence. So we're going to at least 85, but have the facility to go up to 100% convergence by 2027. We know that over time payments will flatten. The question, I suppose, is that while the majority of farmers will do better, and indeed in a county like Donegal, you're looking at 80% of farmers are going to do better, but that has to be tempered by the knowledge that a cohort of the farmers who will be worse off will be significantly worse off, whereas the majority of farmers who will be better will be only slightly better off. So it disproportionately will impact on especially the incomes of dry stock farmers with high payments, because they're going to lose out heavily.
We all knew in advance that one cap size certainly does not fit all.
Yeah, and I suppose the underlying fear is that if you flatten payments completely and you remove the link between payments and production, the justification for them, other than to buttress cheap food, is weakened, and you know the marketplace is not returning a price back to farmers outside of milk, which will keep them in business without support. That's a structural problem that is not easily fixed, because we're exporting globally and we have no control over the market prices globally. There are so many factors that skewer those prices. So as a result, supports are important, and the justification for those supports in the long term has to be maintained.
Most countries will have a minimum convergence level by a certain year.
The three elements, I suppose, that determine the CAP agreement, that's the Council of Agricultural Ministers, the Parliament and the Commission, they agreed on 85% as minimum convergence for 2027, with 100% being an option. And a lot of countries will go for 100%, but a lot of countries have coupled payments, which we have opted not to have in Pillar 1.
Eco schemes will form a major part of the direct payments under the new CAP. Just looking at some of them, we have non-productive areas and landscape features. We're going to see more areas devoted to non-productive features. So maybe you can give us some examples.
Yeah, sure. At present, you need 4% of what's known as EFA, environmental focus areas. The likelihood is that at least 7% of land will have to feature that. So in order to qualify, so basically to get the eco scheme, which will be 25% of Pillar 1 funds, about €74 a hectare is what the department are modelling, which suggests that they expect about 18,000 farmers to miss out on payments completely, on the eco scheme payments completely. In order to qualify, you must fulfil 2 of 5 criteria. So this non-productive area is one of them. So 7% of your land must be set aside, effectively, from agricultural production. It won't be difficult for a lot of farmers. The farms which will struggle will be ones with large fields, whether it's dairy or dry stock farms that have big paddocks and where the hedges have been minimised or removed, and then the tillage farms where fields were made bigger back over the last 30 years, I suppose, to suit mechanisation, where you have large fields and a lower area so of non-agricultural use. So that is going to be an issue. A lot of farmers have a decision to make. Will they go after the payment or not? But of course, they don't have to fulfil that measure. They have to fulfil 2 of the 5 measures. The other ones, limits on the use of chemical nitrogen, the application of fertiliser with a GPS spreader, which will track exactly where it's going. So you have, I suppose, traceability around nutrient application. The planting of native trees, about 3 trees per hectare per year required to fulfil that one. And the last one then is extensive livestock production, where farmers scale down the amount of animals they have. So only intensive farms will struggle to meet these criteria. You would imagine that extensive farms would comfortably fulfil the extensive livestock production and the EFA, the non-productive areas, that 7% limit. So it will be a struggle. And I suppose the irony of it is, or the reality of it is, that the same farmers who are going to be net losers under cap reform through other measures are the ones who will struggle the most to fulfil the criteria to trigger payment of the eco scheme money.
Indeed. Now, just back to the one of the measures, the planting of native trees. Of course, it all ties in with efforts to combat global warming. And as you mentioned there, 3 trees per hectare. So now they can be sown in a tree line or a hedgerow type arrangement. But the bottom line is we're going to see quite noticeable changes.
Yeah, you may have the tree in the middle of the field for shelter, which would have been traditional in pasture areas. Not very handy if you're ploughing or if you're in tillage. Just to put it in context, though, if 20,000 farmers were to participate, the total area being planted each year would be less than 1,000 hectares. So it will be noticeable, but it's not going to transform the landscape of the country at the same time.
So overall, as usual, a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah, there have been calls from farmers that these measures are too narrow and that there need to be more ways in to access the eco scheme's money for farmers. The problem there is that while the minister is searching for, and he has gone on the record to say he will look to add another number of criteria, we would expect to see another 2, at least maybe 3 or 4 criteria added to these 5. But anything that you include in the eco schemes can then no longer be included as a voluntary measure in a Pillar 2 environmental scheme where a payment can be accessed. So there's a trade-off here between trying to balance the needs for Pillar 1 and Pillar 2. It's ever so.
And that was Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Raffo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Thank you, Chris. The weather forecast staying mild and rather cloudy for the rest of today, with a few patches of drizzle in moderate to fresh southwest winds, strong at times in coastal areas. Tonight, mostly cloudy with some patchy light rain or drizzle, mild with lowest overnight temperatures 9 to 11, moderate to fresh southwest winds. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly dry with just some patches of light rain or drizzle once again, mainly on hills and in coastal areas. Rather cloudy in general, but some bright spells will develop as the day progresses. It'll stay mild with highest temperatures of 12 or 13 degrees Celsius in moderate southwest winds. Main news in brief, and the head of the HSC has warned the health system faces unyielding pressure due to the recent COVID surge. 643 people in hospital with COVID. That's a rise of 18% compared to the previous figures last week, and 40% over the past fortnight. Officials say non-elective healthcare will now be cancelled as many hospitals move to surge capacity. Over 4,600 new cases of COVID-19 confirmed this evening by the government, 4,650 to be precise. And officials have recommended anyone who got a Johnson & Johnson booster should get a vaccine, should get a booster after 3 months. The Taoiseach says no new restrictions would be needed if everyone were vaccinated. And the Houses of the Oireachtas say antigen tests will not be provided free to TDs and senators. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 18th of November. The death has occurred of Sister Finian Hegarty, Sisters of Mercy, Grange, Inch Island. Her remains are reposing at her brother's home. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Nazareth House Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Josie McBride, Duntinny, Kerry Keel. Josie's remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there at 12:15 on Saturday, arriving in St. Columbus Church Massmount for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The funeral cortege will travel from his home via Ballykinard and Rosnakill on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the St. Mary's Fanavalti and St. Columbus Massmount Facebook page. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. House strictly private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Sean Crumlish, Upper Ballybrack, Moville. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The death has occurred of Maura Meenan, the Dlieb Stranorler. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Stranorler Cemetery, with Mass being streamed live via the parish webcam on churchservices.tv. House and funeral are private to family, neighbours and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Mary Curran, née Spence, Clondavadog, Church Hill. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny at 6 o'clock this evening, arriving in St. Columbkill's Church, Glendone, for 6:45 to repose overnight. Funeral Mass at 11 tomorrow morning, followed by burial in Garton Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of James Armstrong, formerly of Creggan, Ballybuffet. His remains are reposing at McCool Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet, with visiting time for family, neighbours and close friends from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for service of thanksgiving in Stranorler Parish Church at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. Funeral service of thanksgiving will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Medical 4 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Anne Doyle, née Gill, The Rock Road, Trim, County Meath, formerly of Coventry, and Gortfad, Clonmany. Her remains will repose at her daughter Elaine and Noel's home on the Rock Road, Trim, County Meath, to 8 this evening. Funeral Mass in the Church of Our Lady of Lourdes, Dangan, Summerhill, County Meath, tomorrow at 12:30, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv. And the death has occurred of Raymond Medlin, Doon Terman, formerly of Claggan Church Hill. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service in Trent of Presbyterian Church tomorrow at 2, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice. Service can be viewed on the Trent of Presbyterian Church Facebook page.